Back when I was a student, I used to work as a bartender in a nightclub here in Liverpool. Most places kicked out at about 2 a.m, but we stayed until about 6 a.m. and just mopped up all the business that came spilling out of the other trendier places. This meant that we got some absolute messes propping up our bar on a nightly basis, and you could roughly divide the idiots that patronized us into four categories. 1. Happy drunks, occasionally annoying but generally favorable. 2. Sad drunks, frequently annoying, tend not to tip. 3. Sleepy drunks, usually have to rouse these buggers out from the warmer, comfier corners of the end of the night. And last but not least, the rare and mystical blackout drunks. Totally unpredictable, avoid at all costs, removed from premises as soon as possible. When I say blackout drunk, I don't necessarily mean people who just got too drunk to stand up and end up passing out. No, blacking out when drinking is an actual medical thing. Don't quote me on the ins and outs, but from what I understand, some people have a very particular reaction to alcohol, not all the time, just some of the time, and it causes a complete mental break. People can do outrageous things and have no memory of it whatsoever. They have zero inhibitions, zero social cues. The car is driving, there's just no one at the wheel. Now you see how dangerous that can be and why I added the whole remove from premises type thing. So the stage is set for my scariest post-work encounter ever. It's been a quiet night. People are coming and going in dribs and drabs, and we get this one guy who comes in dressed in what looked like work gear. He seems a bit worse for the wear, but more like he just had a rough day, so my colleague gives him the benefit of the doubt and gives him one last pint of lager for the road. Maybe an hour after, he's leaning up against the bar, staring into space, with this glassy, watery look in his eyes. Classic blackout case. Not falling down drunk, still semi-lucid, but there's just no one behind the eyes. We're close to closing anyway, so I prompt the door staff to come over and ask him to leave. He seems a bit confused at first, but soon complies and he's out the door. No drama. We close, do a really quick clean down, and we're all out the doors about 45 minutes later. I usually walk all the way home since it's only a fairly short distance and the area tends to be completely deserted at the time of morning. Only on this occasion, our blackout drunk friend is sitting on a wall on the opposite side of the street, just staring into space like they always end up doing. But as I'm looking at him with a bit of concern, wondering how he's going to get himself home, he looks up at, notices me, and then immediately starts crossing the road towards me. He doesn't engage though, he just stays behind me on the pavement, following at a steady pace. I'm getting increasingly frightened, and I'm trying to keep my cool, but I can actually hear his footsteps getting louder and louder on the pavement behind me. So I pull out my phone and fake a call with my boyfriend. I was single at the time, saying I was about to catch the bus home.
But what's that? You want to come and give me a lift? You'll be here any second because you're already in the area? Okay, thanks, babe. You're the best.
Then, heart pounding, I walk about 50 meters to the nearest bus stop and plonk my butt down on the bench. Blackout guy hangs around for a bit, not looking like he's doing anything in particular, but I know what he's hanging around for, and it's scaring the bejeebies out of me. But thankfully, with a bluff of my boyfriend coming to pick me up, having apparently worked, he starts shuffling off along the road and eventually out of sight. Only trouble was, he walked the same way I needed to get home, but it was no massive issue. I could just hop the first bus, it was due in like 15 minutes, and take the L for the bus fare, but I'd definitely get home safe and sound. Bus comes, I get on, take a seat, happy days. Next bus stop comes along, bus stops, only one passenger shuffles onto the bus and drops a handful of change into the little coin tray. I look up, guess who it is? It's Blackout Guy, who without looking at me walks past and takes a seat just behind me. I'm just absolutely bricking it by this point and I've completely run out of ideas. I know the guy's going to get off at the same stop as me, follow me home, and then what? I lived alone at the time. I'd have been buggered. Out of pure nervousness, I remember checking my watch and that's when I got the idea that saved me. Right by my flat, Immediately as you get off the bus, there's a Tesco Metro, and since it was just past 7 a.m., it would have just opened. That Tesco would have been rocking a security guard and possibly an office I could ask him to hide me in. It wasn't the best idea, but it was definitely worth a shot, and it turned out it was the best idea I could possibly have had. Like clockwork, the guy got off the bus with me and followed me to the Tesco. I was a bit shaky when I approached the security guy, but as soon as I explained what the deal was, he ushered me off into a security office where they normally detain shoplifters and all that. Police were called, and the blackout guy actually hanged around the Tesco, waiting for me to reappear, so he was an easy caller. I'm not sure if they charged him with anything, or just gave him a bed for the night. I don't care though, to be honest. He was out of my hair, I was safe, and that's all I was arsed about. I don't know if he saw through my fake phone call or something, but him working out that I was on that bus was honestly one of the worst moments of my life. Like this proper oh no moment that I've never repeated before or since. I just feel bad for girls who don't have anyone to run to when something like that happens. Girls who aren't as lucky as me, who don't get to go home, sometimes, ever again. I think I was about 19 or 20 when this happened. I was walking home after a night with the homies, and since I was feeling jolly, or high, should I say, I decided to take the long way home. The long way home consisted of walking down this big old boulevard with some really nice big houses on it. I think they were all built around the turn of the century, and some of the ornate brickwork could make you feel like you've gone back in time if it wasn't for all the latest model Mercedes parked in the driveways. So I'm walking kind of slow, just sort of moseying down the middle section, which has all of these flower beds on it. Like I said, it's a real nice place. So nice, in fact, that a punk kid like me in skate shoes, a beanie, and a black hoodie doesn't fit in at all. Which is why, although I can't condone what happened next, I can kind of understand it. So as I'm walking, I'm like looking up at all the stuff carved into these strips of stone near the rooftops. Some got dates on them, some got carvings, when all of a sudden, I hear this dude like, "Hey, hey you, what are you looking at?" I look down to see this dude sitting on the front steps of what I assumed was his house. I'm just minding my own business, not doing anyone any harm, so I kind of reply defensive like, "Nothing. What's it to you?" His response to that is to just get up off his butt and start marching towards me. And only then do I see how monstrous this dude really is. He's huge. I must have instinctively started backing up like, "Whoa, dude, chill," but he just keeps coming, gets right up in my face and starts growling these demands that I tell him what I was looking at. I just say like, "The houses, dude. What do you want?" And then for some godforsaken reason, what I thought would be a totally harmless answer turns out to send him into what I can only describe as a fit of rage. I don't care how big or scary anyone is. I don't have time for drama like that, so I just keep backing up until I'm a safe enough distance and then start walking away. But as I'm walking, I hear this horrible distinctive click-clack that has me stopping dead in my tracks. Guy tells me to turn around, and my worst fears are confirmed. He has a gun pointed right at me, and he's telling me not to move. I've never been so scared in all my freaking life. Like, I legitimately couldn't stop myself from shaking as the guy launches into a tirade about how his house has been targeted for burglary and blah, blah, blah. How the cops won't help. How guys like him need to take the law into their own hands. I sympathized. I totally did. I had my bike stolen when I was 12 by a kid that lived on my block. I had to watch him ride that thing around for weeks before he trashed it one day and just tossed it into the river. That guy was obviously at breaking point, ready to snap. The problem was, he was about to snap on me, and not an actual criminal. Thankfully, he calmed down a little, and after promising I'd never walk around that neighborhood at night anymore, he finally sobers up, lowers the gun, and lets me walk away. People make a big deal out of bad neighborhoods and how you shouldn't walk through them at night. But no one tells you about the good neighborhoods, because let me tell you, they can be just as dangerous.
It was back in the summer of 1974, and I was 16 years old at the time. I had just attended a concert in the city with my friends Dave and John. The three of us were catching a train home. We had got up at our stop, and we began walking home down the main road, chatting about the concert and still buzzing from the cool vibes. It was around 12 a.m. and we were crossing at a main intersection. There wasn't much traffic around this time of night, and as we crossed the road, we suddenly noticed a beat-up brown-colored station wagon stop in the middle of the intersection right near us. His window was down, and the driver was around 25 to 30 years old, and although he looked a little dodgy, we just assumed he was going to ask for directions, and so we just stood there waiting to see what this guy wanted, completely unaware of the sheer terror that was about to follow. In that very moment, the guy pulled out a pistol from his lap, and what he uttered next still gives me shivers to this day. He said in a calm tone,
"Who wants it first?"
We just froze in absolute shock and terror, and it took a few seconds for all the reality of this to finally sink in. We didn't even have time to exchange a look, and we all hightailed it across the intersection. As our footsteps thundered across the road, the sound of gunshots filled the air as we ran for those bushes. I was absolutely terrified, waiting for that bullet to hit me or one of my friends in the back. As we ran further into the park and mustered up the courage to look back, we could no longer see the car and breathed a sigh of relief. We all just stood there trying to get our breath back. Luckily, we all knew the area pretty well, and we decided to continue along the old gravel road that we knew would take us back towards our homes. As we walked down the path, our conversation was pretty minimal, as we were too preoccupied of the thoughts of what had just happened and how lucky we were. However, that feeling of relief didn't last very long. As we got near the end of the gravel road, I could make out a car at the very end, and I started to wonder to myself, could that be the guy? We kept walking, but then just like out of a scary movie, the car flipped on its headlights and started revving its engine, and under the dim lights of the street, my heart began to sink as I then realized it was the brown station wagon. We knew he could see us. He was waiting for us, taunting us. He must know these streets well and where each of the different roads would lead. Well, we didn't waste another second. We took off once again and jumped the fence of a neighboring house. We didn't stop. We just kept running and running and jumping all of the fences. I glanced toward the road many times and I would see his car screaming past. Each time we made it to a main road, we would see his car appear again and once again speed towards us, and we dove over fences and tried to find another way. This happened about two or three more times after that. Around 1:30 a.m., we got down the end of another side road, and we couldn't see at the time, but the fence we jumped was covered in barbed wire, and it tore our clothes as we slid down. I let out a few groans as it grazed my arm. We were now in some kind of paddock-type area, and we could faintly hear the screeches of his tires racing around trying to find us. We just stood there crouching in the dark, breathing heavily, standing in calm manner, but we didn't care. We probably crouched for about 15 minutes or so, just waiting in the dark. Figuring by now he must be gone, we made our way back onto the main road. We kept our eyes peeled and kept glancing over our shoulders, and as the headlights appeared in the distance on many occasions, we each stopped breathing for a second, wondering in anticipation whether or not it was going to be the brown station wagon. We didn't see him again after that, and around 3 a.m., we walked my friend John home. Dave came back to mind for a bit so we could talk more calmly about our experience. Dave went home later that night. What was only meant to be a 20-minute walk home turned into that I will never forget. What was even more scary was a week or so later, I heard on the news that an elderly lady was shot by a random stranger one late night not too far from where this happened. Whether it was the same guy or not, I'll never know. All I really know is that my friends and I were incredibly lucky to escape that night. I live in a relatively safe area in Scotland, though I've had several really odd and scary experiences since I moved here about 4 years ago. I'm a short 29-year-old woman and I work in a pub, so I often get out of work quite late. I never wear my headphones when headed home at night, so this particular night was no different than usual. Alarm set, doors locked and checked, then said goodbye to my colleague and then went our separate ways to get home. I usually cross a grocery store car park to get home. and that night something struck me as odd. There were a couple of cars parked there, which is normal, but something just felt off this time. I looked over my shoulder and I clocked a guy in a hat walking a distance behind me. This wasn't weird, but I decided to keep an eye on him nonetheless. I exited the car park to the main road that I lived off of, but still had a good mile or so to go before I finally reached my flat. I checked over my shoulder again, and sure enough, the guy was walking in the same direction as me. The distance between us was starting to close, so I decided to cross the road. Looking over my shoulder, I was able to not only look for traffic coming, but I was also able to keep an eye on him. I crossed the road and didn't bother to look back for another few minutes, assuming he had stayed on the other side. But I began to hear footsteps approaching. I glanced over my shoulder and saw this guy was about 20 feet behind me. I had a soft drink and a glass bottle in my bag, and figuring I was overacting but better safe than sorry, I stuck my hand into my bag and gripped the bottle. Another 45 seconds and this guy was close enough to touch me, but he slows to my pace and then says,
"Hello there, how are you?"
I ignored him and I don't respond. I long ago gave up on pretenses of being polite if I feel uncomfortable. If I'm feeling uncomfortable, I really don't care about a stranger's feelings. But he persists in talking to me.
"Hi there, are you going to work today?"
"No, I was being short with him."
"Are you going home?"
"Yes," I said coldly. "Do you live in this direction?" I just looked at him, and he tried again.
"Do you live off this road? Where do you live? Do you live close by?"
I don't respond to him and I slowed my pace, letting him walk on. I was still gripping the glass bottle, ready to hit him with it should he try anything. He tried to slow down so that I would catch up with him, but I slowed down so much that I was barely walking. He was maybe 300 yards away at this point and simply stopped and turned around, watching me and waiting for me to catch up with him. I reached into my pocket with my free hand and tried to get my phone. Of course, my phone was dead. I figured it would last the walk home, but the dodgy battery had other ideas. Surprisingly though, I wasn't really afraid. He had started walking again, but again, still quite slowly. He looked over his shoulder again after another minute, and I seized the opportunity. There was a path to a block of flats that was obscured by tall hedges, so I leaped behind them. I waited for nearly 10 minutes. Never letting go of that bottle the whole time. I peeked around the hedges to make sure he was there. I peeked behind bins and bus stops to make sure he wasn't hiding, but as far as I could tell, I had lost him. Maybe he didn't mean anything by this, but if you suspect a woman is afraid of you and she's walking alone at night, don't speak to her. It won't help. And especially, don't ask her where she lives repeatedly. I wasn't drunk, I didn't appear to be drunk or need any help. I was just walking home like I usually would. I am, however, inclined to believe that he had bad intentions. I would rather be too cautious than not. So did that creepy dude who seemed to be following me home that night. Screw off.
My name is Courtney, and I was 23 years old when this happened. I worked at a McDonald's right near my house. In order to get to my house, or to my work, you have to pass by a public park. I always carry pepper spray on me in case anything happens to me. I've been working at McDonald's for a few months now, and whenever I would work, I would always pass by the park, and nothing has ever happened. Until this one night. It was a Wednesday, I believe, and I had just gotten off from work. It was around 11 p.m. and I was starting to walk home. The reason why I walked from work to home is because my house is close by, so there's no need to drive. Anyway, while I was walking, I looked behind me for whatever reason, and I saw a man in all black following me. I thought nothing of it and just simply kept walking. I looked behind me once more, and this time, I could tell that he was walking a bit faster. I walked faster too, hoping that this guy would go away. I felt like he could put his hand on me at any moment, so I had my hand on my pepper spray just in case. And then it happened. I felt a hand cover my mouth and another hand grab my neck. I screamed and took out my pepper spray and sprayed the man in the eyes, and he fell to the ground. I ran home while the man lied on the ground, screaming in pain. I finally came home and went inside, almost out of breath. But, unfortunately, it didn't end there. My parents weren't home, and when I went to look out of my bedroom window, I saw the man across the street looking right at me. He then ran off into the darkness, and I never saw him again. My name is Matthew, and this is the most horrifying experience I've ever had. This was something straight out of a horror movie. I lived in a rural town in California and worked at a local Domino's. I have to walk past some woods in order to get to my house. I've been working at Domino's since I was 17 and I am now 19. I've also been walking past the woods and nothing strange has ever happened to me. Until today. So, my shift at Domino's ended at 7:30, a bit later than my normal time I get out. So I'm walking and I could see the woods maybe a few miles up ahead. Finally, I get to the woods and I'm on the side of the road. To get a better idea of where I was, imagine a road and trees on both sides. Now, there are barely any cars or people on the road at this time. Keep in mind that it's getting dark and you only have very little light, so it really added to the creepiness. Anyway, as I was walking, I thought I could hear something coming from the trees. I looked, but I didn't see anything. I continued walking when a rock was thrown at me and landed right in front of me. I then turned around and looked to the trees and I could see someone waving at me. It was dark, so I couldn't see who it was or how they looked. I asked, hey, do you need something? He responded in a loud whisper and said, "Hey, come over here. I want to show you something." I told him that I had to get home and that I couldn't be late. He responded saying, "Oh, don't worry. It will only take a second. I really need your help with something." I told him I'll help, but I only had a minute. He said a minute is all it will take. I took a deep breath and walked over to him. He said that he found a man-made hole dug in the ground and wanted to see what was down there and that he didn't have a light. I told him I would shine my light with my iPhone down there to take a look. Doing that was the biggest mistake I've ever done. I walked over and stood by the hole with the man behind me. Before I was about to shine the light, the man pushed me down the hole. I fell about 20 feet and landed on something soft. I started cussing and screaming at the man, but I didn't see him. I stood up and I could feel the soft thing I was on. I had to see what I was standing on. I shined the flashlight on my phone and shined it down. I felt like my whole world had been shattered. The light revealed the body. It was a naked woman who looked to be about 20 and she had been killed. She had cuts everywhere on her body. I stayed down there for a good half hour before finally managing to climb out and run home. I didn't tell my parents about what I saw. I only told a few of my closest friends. For a bit of background story, at the time I lived in a city in a not so great area in South Texas. I was walking home from my friend's house since my mom wanted me home by 10. To get to my house, you have to go through a tunnel. I've been through the tunnel before and nothing too strange has ever happened. I mean, you would see maybe some people doing drugs or something, but nothing too major. However, this night was absolutely horrifying. I was walking through the tunnel when I heard someone falling behind me. It was some guy. There were some dimly lit lights in the tunnel so I could see him. He then started to walk faster towards me, and when all of a sudden he came to my right and said, "Hey, you're really pretty. You want to hang out sometime?" This guy looked to be about 30, and I was 18 at the time, so I politely told him that I was only 18 and that I had a boyfriend. He responded and completely ignored what I said. He said, "So, can I have your number?" I told him no and to please leave me alone. He seemed to get the hint, and so he walked back. While I was walking, I could see the end of the tunnel that would turn onto my street. Then, I felt two hands grab around my neck and squeeze tight. I tried punching the man, and he let go of my neck and tried to grab my hands, but I managed to cut him with my pocket knife. He then fell to the ground and screamed in pain. I ran as fast as I could out of the tunnel and onto my street. I then lost him and walked to my house. When I got inside, I fell to the floor, bawling my eyes out. I explained to my parents and they called the police, but they couldn't find the guy. I now carry pepper spray on me and my boyfriend sometimes walks with me through the tunnel. I haven't seen that man since, and I hope I never do.
Christmas is a time of year to be happy, merry, and joyful, at least for most people. I love spreading cheer to family and friends on Christmas. My joyful mood usually translates to my coworkers as well. I work in customer service, which many people know can be a nightmare at Christmas time, so it helps to try and stay upbeat. Well, on this specific Christmas Eve, customers were doing some final Christmas shopping before Christmas Day. Right at the end of my shift, I cashed out a pretty normal-looking guy. I would say the average height range of like 5'7" and maybe 150 pounds. He had parted black hair, glasses, and was probably in his mid-40s. He was buying some fairly normal stuff and not really anything Christmas-related. The whole interaction was mostly friendly until the very end when I said something I now wish I didn't say. I ended our transaction by saying in my bubbly voice, "Thank you, sir, and have a happy holiday." He stopped and turned back to me and said, "What did you just say?" I responded nervously and semi-confused, "Have a happy holiday?" He stormed back to my register and screamed at the top of his lungs, "It's Merry Christmas!" I backed away in a slight panic and just said, "Okay, sir, I'm sorry." He walked away mumbling to himself, but I could tell he was furious by his recent actions. For a couple of minutes, I kept staring outside, and I could see him pacing in front of the store, still seemingly mumbling to himself. A few people actually came into the store and said that there was someone outside talking about Christmas and Jesus' birthday. I began to panic, thinking this guy was going to come into the store again or wait until I got out and try to follow me home or something. Well, luckily for me, my boyfriend worked at the same store, and he was driving us to my mom's house for a Christmas Eve party at the end of the night. We left shortly after 6, and at first, I was relieved when I didn't see the man outside. We were almost to my boyfriend's car when we saw the man running after us from the side of the store. My boyfriend opened up the backseat door so I could hop in, and he stood there in front of the car. My boyfriend said in a stern voice, "Hey, is there a problem, man?" The man, still in a rage, said, "That lady has no respect for Jesus or Christmas, and she should be punished." My boyfriend, confused, told the man to back away and leave us alone, and the crazy man actually tried to jump past my boyfriend to get into the car to punish me, or whatever that meant. My boyfriend slammed the guy down to the ground and got into the car, and we drove off. Like fools, we decided on the drive not to call 911 because we didn't want to bother them on Christmas Eve, so we thought, and just wanted to forget the event. On December 26th, we did alert our store manager of the situation so we could call the police if the guy ever came back into the store. I still work at the store, and almost a year later, I have never seen that man again. I can say for certainty that I will never say happy holidays again.